Ken Dorsey, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Sorry about that. My dog ate my homework, and my phone. I got in a car wreck, and I got to the office. The phone didn't work, you know. So, sorry about that.
It's all good, Ken. Don't worry about
it. Yeah, man. Merry Christmas. That sounds like
Merry Christmas, happy holidays. You know. Hey. Yeah. Great day to be in South Florida, right?
Oh yeah, always.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So we were having this conversation last segment with the theory of, like, you know how whenever a vacancy happens at the Canes, everybody harkens back. They want to go back to your team in 2011. So Roms and I were having the discussion, like, if the Canes ever just had their dream in Fantasyland of having, like, all the 01 legends just coaching, like, do you think it would work? And the reason we asked that is, like, because you guys, Roms was always telling the stories of, like, you know, you guys embraced the grind. You guys basically had nothing facilities back then and all. And times have changed, man. Like, you know, there's way more programs in South Florida that you have to compete against with. TV, everybody's on television. Everybody's got nice stuff. So I don't even know if fans ever got their dream, if that necessarily would pan out to be the rousing success fans maybe think it would be.
Well, let me tell you this. I think it would work on some levels. I think the thing that that people have to understand a little bit is just the time commitment in terms of, one, you know, obviously game planning and everything like that. And, Brent, you've talked about this all the time, just the time commitment it takes just to be a coach and everything like that for on the NFL level. But then you throw recruiting on top of it and how much you're away for recruiting and the time commitment it takes for that. So it is a big commitment and everything in terms of just time and what you have to put into it. So I think there might be some guys who are super excited and, yeah, I could kill it at first, and then all of a sudden either, you know, it's not the right fit for them because of those certain things and everything like that. But I do think there is a large group of guys in that group who could potentially do some great things as coaches on any level.
Kenny, you can speak to this being a former coach. How much of what's going on right now with Manny Diaz and going up to Temple and obviously the coaching tree that he is going to try to create, and how does this work when coordinators become head men or head men bring their coordinators with them? How much of a buddy system is that? Are we possibly expecting to see maybe guys like, you know, Mike Rump, the guy that we played with? Do we see his possible departure going up? Are they going to be gutting everybody up there? What is the mindset of a coach when it comes to his new job as a head coach?
I think a lot of times, especially in the critical positions, the coordinating positions and things like that, they're going to look for guys that they're comfortable with, especially as a first-time head coach. And as you should, you know, I think sometimes where you run into trouble is when you hire somebody, you have no idea about their, you know, kind of who they are. And then all of a sudden they get there and it's like, oh, well, I don't necessarily agree with that. And then there's friction and things like that. So I think the natural tendency is to, you know, hire people that you're comfortable with, hire people that you've been around, and either coach with that, either Miami or Texas or wherever coach has been in the past, that he has familiarity with, that, you know, that I think that creates that cohesiveness on the staff that a lot of times people are looking for. Now, at the same time, if somebody has great credentials and it's, you know, a fit that they feel like because of past experience that individual has and stuff like that, then that might be a time to hire somebody that you haven't necessarily worked with in the past. But I think familiarity is the first thing everybody looks for when they're hiring.
How do you think being around Butch Davis this year, like, has he changed with the time? Like, are there things that, I'm sure he's got his foundations that he had even when you guys were coached, but are there things that you notice that he does a lot differently because of just today's game?
Well, definitely. I think obviously it's kind of, things have evolved. I mean, we weren't playing music and during practice and stuff like that when I was in school all the time and everything like that. I think you look at just our offense right now what Coach Strosky's done with the offense in terms of, you know, a lot of three wides, four wides and things like that, but no huddle, the zone read. Clearly we weren't running too much zone read when I was there, but the RPO game and everything like that. And I think that's what makes Coach so great, is that even when he was, you know, out of coaching and ESPN and everything like that, he was always kind of studying the game and being a student of the game as well, you know, to try to, you know, to keep up with the times. And I think that's critical because he really has evolved and changed his style from, you know, when he was at Miami, when he was at Dallas and winning, you know, championships and things like that, when he was at Cleveland, being the last guy to take them to the playoffs. and everything, you know, to where we are right now competing for Conference USA championships and major bowl games.
And another coaching question. People are ragging on the fact that he's at Temple. People are saying at the end of the day, it's still Temple. But you might have to elaborate for a lot of the listeners out there the importance of being a head coach at a major university.
I think what people need to understand a little bit with some of this stuff is a lot of times when you're being interviewed or considered for a job, all they do is open up the resume and look at, you know, or not all they do, but one of the major factors, one of the deciding factors to even get consideration for a lot of these jobs, especially the bigger jobs in SEC and stuff like that, is, okay, where was he last head coach if the guy wants to be a head coach? Where was he last a coordinator if he wants to be a coordinator? So I think that's kind of critical in the hiring process nowadays is years of experience. How long have you been a head coach for? How long have you been a coordinator for? And these types of things that a lot of times is a deciding factor on whether or not you even get a look or get an opportunity for an interview. And then if you get that job, hey, you know, I'm going to hire the guy with 30 years of experience versus the guy with, you know, no years of experience or 5 years of experience. You know, it's just that's kind of the way it is right now.
We're talking to Ken Dorsey. Ken, switching over to the pro side of things down here. Yes, this past week, the Dolphins had just a crazy, crazy ending. You know, yeah. The Miami Hurricanes, it was wild. What is the craziest ending Ken Dorsey has ever been a part of at any level?
Well, probably it had to be the Boston College game, for one. I mean, just the way that game was and how it finished with Ed Reed on that touchdown and everything. I mean, that was probably the craziest one I've ever been a part of in terms of that, you know, and being on the winning end of it. You know, obviously, you go back to the Fiesta Bowl and everything like that. Unfortunately, not going our way.
Hey, have you ever watched that game? Did you ever watch the Fiesta Bowl?
I have never watched that game in its entirety.
I'm wondering. A lot of guys tell me, oh, no, I've never seen the Fiesta Bowl after we played it that night.
No, yeah, I really haven't. And every now and then people are, oh, it's on. And then I'm like, oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I just don't have much desire to, I guess.
Did you guys, like, watch the U part two? Like, did you watch the recap of it? Or did you have no desire?
Yeah,
you knew
we
that
watched the U
up.
Part two, but I've never, because, you know, the way that we watch film or the way we watch games is a lot different than the average fan watches a game. It becomes a dissection. You know what I mean?
Like, it'll probably make you mental because you're just going to go back and look at the pass interference.
Yeah.
I don't think we'd focus on the pass interference as much as we would focus on, you know,
every little other
offensive
thing that
linemen
led up to that.
Not going out to blitzing linebackers that were getting identified as this is the damn blitzer. Go on out and pick him up. Like things
you
along
mean
those
guy
lines.
Standing on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, you mean the guy that I'm pointing to and yelling, "Go get him!" And nobody moves to go get. Yeah, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think just and Brett, you're a lot like I am in a lot of these ways and stuff like that. Just to sit down and watch that whole. Games that, like, the games that we won that I sit down and watch and maybe we didn't play the best, I get, you know, irritated about. Like, if I were to sit down and watch that game in its entirety, I'd be fuming.
Yeah. I'm sure. And it doesn't sound like you guys hold grudges at the guys who played poorly at all.
No.
No, it sounds like you guys are all totally over it. It's all good. Don't worry.
Totally.
So the other thing, Ken, so the Dolphins are taking on the Minnesota Vikings this week, and the Minnesota, they fired their offensive coordinator. When you were on NFL rosters, did that ever occur, the idea that you had to have a coaching staff change in the middle of the season? And because, like, I guess Dolphin fans are probably looking at this and thinking, oh, like, maybe there's a little bit of chaos going on over in Minnesota. They haven't lived up to expectations and they're switching up staff. How hard is that, what Minnesota may be going through, having to adjust to a new voice or a guy who's in charge in the offensive side of the ball?
Well, I have seen it go both ways. In fact, when I was in Cleveland, we went through the same thing. They let the offensive coordinator go partway through the season or kind of near the end-ish, like we're at now. And the next week, we actually ended up playing Pittsburgh at home and ended up winning that game. You know, and at the time, we weren't great. Obviously, we were struggling, you know, if we're letting the offensive coordinator go. So, you know, we did end up, when I was there, we beat Pittsburgh that next week. And, you know, the game ball went to the offensive coordinator. So it could be a lot of times a galvanizing thing for the offense to kind of come together and really kind of get behind each other and the guys. So, you know, I don't think we necessarily changed everything we did and everything like that. And, you know, you're not putting in a new offense, so you can watch film and get an idea of concepts and stuff like that. Especially they're coming off a Monday night football game, so I don't think they're going to be completely revamping everything they do because they have one less day to prepare. So a lot of times when you have things like that, they're trying to carry over as much stuff as they can to the next week and everything. So I don't think you'll see a brand new offense. I think obviously, though, situationally, you will see different things.
How do you know that you can get that chemistry with a quarterback right away? Like, you coached Cam in an MVP season. Like, is it a thing where you're working on that stuff constantly, or is it something that maybe just clicks immediately? Like, I vibe with this guy really, this quarterback particularly really well, whether you're coaching him or you're getting coached.
Well, and I do think the thing that kind of helps them right now is the fact that the guy taking over the OC is the quarterback's coach. So he's around him all the time. He knows what he likes. He knows what, you know, concepts he's most comfortable with. They're around each other. They have that relationship. It might be a little bit more difficult if you're a different position group trying to do that type of thing. So I do think that familiarity will help. I do think there is an adjustment period because obviously when you haven't called plays before and it's something new, there is that kind of adjustment in terms of what you want to do and how you want to approach it and everything like that. But I think it might, in a way, it helps you because it's a you know, mid-season thing. It's a short week thing, and I just gotta jump on it. I gotta go and I gotta do it. You know, so I do think there is a little bit of a feeling out process, but I think that it's a lot smaller when you've coached that position group.
He's Ken Dorsey, former Hurricanes great, assistant athletic director over at FIU. Ken, we always appreciate the time, man. Thanks for making it again for us today.
Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right, Ken Dorsey there. And Ken Dorsey is, of course, brought to us each week by Waveguide Communications. For all your IT infrastructure projects, call 954-782-9898. That's 954-782-9898. Ask for Mike or Jim. It's also brought to you by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. Now at the Lennar Foundation Medical Center in Coral Gables. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com.
Is there a real thing going on that people think that Dwayne Johnson and The Rock are two separate people? Because I see this on the internet all the time. I see this all the time on the internet. Because right now I'm looking at another Instagram post saying that the epic moment that The Rock and Dwayne Johnson finally meet. And it's a picture of, you know, Dwayne Johnson putting his arm around The Rock at like a press conference thing, thingy. It's a botched picture. And you got people that are writing underneath it, damn, bruh, my dumbass thought that they were the same person this whole time.
All right. That's.
But I've heard of today. This like a lot. Like, there's people that think Dwayne Johnson is a different person
that
than
can't
the actual
be.
Rock.
I don't accept that.
Yeah,
I don't accept that.
Mm-hmm.
That's no. That's crazy. Anyway, a man who's like two people all wrapped into one, John Clayton and the Professor. They join us next.